Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up this hour, we're going to go back and talk about the Rams, a team we've been buzzing a little bit about this morning from the standpoint of they're the defending Super Bowl champions. And winning back-to-back Super Bowls is not easy. Everyone's got your target, and everybody, you know, you usually go into the next season with a couple of things that may not work for you like they worked for you in the first year. But nevertheless, they've got Sean McVay, and McVay is becoming one of the best coaches in this sport from the standpoint of what he not only brings to the team, but what he extends out to other teams, which is quality individuals who are going out and making their own mark. There's something about McVay that has been attractive from a standpoint of the way he conducts his team and the way he innovates on offense. And taking a guy like Matt Stafford and a guy that we kind of felt like there was a potential unlocking it a little bit. And again, taking a team that was built to compete for a championship and end up winning a championship. I remember that Super Bowl where they played against the Patriots. And he was obviously their first time at the Super Bowl, and they had Jared Goff. And I remember listening to him talk, and he was, young guy then. He's still a young guy, but he's a really young guy then. And I was impressed. I was impressed by the way, he didn't look like he had the sort of deer in the headlights thing that the Super Bowl can sometimes do to people. Even if you are an experienced person in the NFL and you sort of know what the game is when you get there for the week leading up to that game. But nevertheless, one of the things that I loved about Sean McVay was that he seemed to be one of the bright and up-and-coming stars that people pegged as a bright and up-and-coming star, and he accomplished it. And that was the Super Bowl a number of years ago. To see him win the title now, whenever we take somebody young and we go 32, 33, 34, and we give them these huge, huge moments, huge, huge responsibility, most of the time, that's a recipe for disaster. Most of the time, they're not able to handle that. Some have, but a lot of times they don't. Not everybody can be a John Madden, right? Become a head coach at a very young age and win a Super Bowl, especially in this day and age. But that's the trend now. If you're in your 40s getting your first, full-time NFL job, where have you been? Because now it seems like 35, 36, 37 is where it's at. When Lane Kiffin got hired by the Raiders, again, he was like 31, 32. It was insane. People thought that was way too young. But 34, 35, 36, and a lot of it has to do with McVay and a lot of some of the younger guys, but the McVay tree is still growing.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Throwback Thursday, 1985. Doc Gooden wins his 20th game at 20 years old, becomes the youngest to do that. Would win the Cy Young later that year. Duran Duran, A View to a Kill. This is the title song of the James Bond movie, starring Roger Moore and one Christopher Walken.
Wait, what?
This was the A View to a Kill. Was this A View to a Kill? Yeah. Yeah, A View to a Kill. This is the one where Christopher Walken played a Silicon billionaire, Zorin, and he's going to...
Before Silicon Valley was a thing.
Yeah, he's going to flood it and then own all the chips, run the computer chips. I don't know. It was some plot. But anyway, Christopher Walken was the villain. Grace Jones was in this movie too. She played like the henchwoman, I should say.
Isn't that what she was like in every movie she was
ever
in? Yeah,
exactly. There was a one of the scenes in the movie is he's having a meeting with all these other people, and he shows them the plan, what he wants to do, and one guy says, "I won't stand for this, no," and he's like, "Well, you have to leave the meeting." And he's like, Mayday will provide you a drink. And then she takes him to the thing and she presses a button. Because there's always a button, right? There's just always a button
always
that does the thing you need it to do that kills the people that you need to kill. She presses a button. He slides down a ramp because it was stairs. And instead of stairs, it was a ramp. and it turned into a slide, and he slid out a chute, and he fell to his death from the blimp. That was in A View to a Kill. There you go. See what I provide to this show, man? It's invaluable.
It is.
A little bit of worthless movie trivia. 1985 on a Throwback Thursday. All right, speaking of 1985, well, actually, speaking of 2021, the Rams football season last year was all in, everybody all in on winning a championship. And guess what? They did, right? So now, what are their chances of repeating? Well, they're going to be one of the favorites in the NFC because the NFC doesn't have a large group of favorites. But are they favorites to repeat? No. Did they benefit from their strategy? Well, of course they did. They got Vaughn Miller. Matt Stafford certainly was an upgrade at that position. You add to the pieces that they already had there in Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald. But they also had Robert Woods, who's no longer on the team. But they sacrificed draft picks along the way. Here's a cool thing about the Rams. Well, not a cool thing, but this is the thing about the Rams. So the Rams in the draft in April, they didn't pick until the third round. Okay. And they took a offensive guard by the name of Logan Bruss out of Wisconsin. Guess what, folks? Logan Bruss is out for the year. Tore his ACL and MCL in practice a few days ago. He's done. That's it. So even when they picked their first pick in the draft, which again came with the 40th, third round, I should say. It still was, he's done. He's out for the year. So basically, the team, is not counting on an infusion of youth or an infusion of new talent to sort of repeat as champions. But this is the thing about the Rams. They didn't build a dream team, right? Like the NBA, where the NBA, you might have a general manager go, yeah, we're all in. We're going to have Kevin Durant. We're going to have Kyrie Irving, and we'll get another guy, and we'll try to get some great role players, and we're all in. We're favorites. The Rams weren't favorites last year, right? You could make the argument that Tampa Bay was, Green Bay was, Dallas maybe out of the NFC. The AFC still had Kansas City, Buffalo. So they weren't the favorites when they put this all together. They were a team of intrigue, of course. But the 2021 Rams didn't really do one thing better than everybody else. They were a top five team in terms of passing yards, but they were down near the bottom in rushing. They scored a lot of points, but they weren't in the top five of points scored. Their defense was middle of the road. Wasn't anything spectacular. They had great players. Don't get me wrong, but they didn't do the one thing that identified them as a champion, right? When you look at Kansas City, you could point to Patrick Mahomes and a dynamic offense. You could look at Buffalo and say kind of the same thing. You could look at Tom Brady and the Buccaneers and go, whoop, they got Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. Matt Stafford wasn't on that level, but the Rams as a whole were good enough, right? Good enough to overcome what was in front of them. And what was in front of them was win the division, go to the playoffs, win a road game at Tampa Bay, win a home game against San Francisco, and go from there. Well, they beat Arizona, but that, we talked about this with Arizona this week. Their first playoff game against the Cardinals, where the Cardinals just puked upon themselves. I mean, it was awful. Terrible game. But those were the obstacles that were in front of them. Dominate Arizona, go on the road and beat Tampa Bay, hold off Tom Brady's comeback, and then beat the 49ers in the NFC title game, and then get to the Super Bowl and roll from there. But again, they weren't like the Titans, which were dominant. Like, if the Titans would have won the Super Bowl, you'd probably look at Derrick Henry and go, there it is. That's the guy. There's the reason why. They are a running football team that will beat you in the trenches. They play solid defense, but that's a team that will beat you on the ground. They will, ground and pound. If Patrick Mahomes had won the Super Bowl, well, look at the weapons he got around. High flying, score at will, score in a blink of an eye. That's what the Kansas City Chiefs do. Was there any identifier to the Rams last season? Was there anything that made you say, well, that's the one thing that they do? They had Aaron Donald and Vaughn Miller, but again, they weren't number one in defense. Far from it, right? They had Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp, but they were seventh in passing yards per game. So again, they didn't blow you away. So with that in mind, how really risky was this to take all of their chips on the table, give up draft picks down the road, for a team that didn't come together in a way that people went, okay, that's now the new Seattle Seahawks from a few years ago, or that's the new Patriots 16-0 team, right? The one team where you say, no matter how good my team is, whew, if we run into them, we're in trouble. You know, maybe it was the Broncos defense the year they won the Super Bowl. Did the Rams have any of those kind of characteristics? Did the Rams give you any sort of indication that they were now best of the best of the best? No. But that's why this league is fickle. That's a perfect example of what I was talking about earlier. Does the Rams blueprint, is it worthy of being copied by general managers across the NFL? Good luck if you do. Because the Rams definitely needed a few balls to bounce their way. Matt Stafford doesn't complete that pass to Cooper Kupp, and I know it's a woulda, coulda, shoulda game. I get it. But at the same time, he doesn't. The Buccaneers might have completed that comeback and won that game. And in you know, when it's all said and done, if you're a general manager, and we talk about this a lot, general managers do not usually, and the Rams, I think, are a, sort of an outlier to this, but general managers have to make decisions that are 3, 4, 5 years down the road, right? And so they structure contracts that way. When they acquire free agents, they always kind of figure in what window this free agent is going to be effective for this team and then when they're not, right? It's always under that sort of plan. And it's unfortunate because the general manager sometimes has to be the bad guy within the organization on future deals. But that's the way it is. Aaron Rodgers had a legitimate beef against the Green Bay Packers for drafting Jordan Love. But the Packers also were saying to him, we have to have a quarterback in place when you're gone. And we're not going to be a team that's going to be left out in the lurch of when the day comes where you announce that you don't want to play this game anymore. We are trying to prepare. And yet, a first-round selection might have gone too far, and maybe we should have talked to you about it. But that just gives you the idea of the mindset. In the Rams' case, they weren't doing that. In the Rams' case, they were saying 2, 3, 4 years down the road, we'll figure those things out when we get there. There might be a way to get back into the first round of a draft that we're not going to have a pick for. There might be a way we can acquire draft capital in trades or whatever it is that we want to do. Let's figure it out when that day comes. But today we have an opportunity to get Von Miller to shore up some our defense. Today we have a chance to make a trade for Matt Stafford and upgrade the quarterback, which is almost all of the battle when it comes to winning a championship. And in that regards, I think general managers might be willing to do maybe Rams light, meaning we're not giving up all our draft capital, or we're not going to make it so that we're picking third in the next three drafts. But you know what? Maybe I won't cling to the draft picks so tightly so that I might take a gamble and land a veteran. Remember, the Rams' philosophy was simple, right? Why draft a potential Von Miller when I can just get Von Miller, right? That was kind of the idea. Because there's a lot of scouting. There's a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas. There's a lot of what ifs when you draft a player. Maybe he doesn't ever turn out to be what you think he is. Maybe he exceeds the expectations. Maybe the diamond in your draft class comes in the fourth round. Maybe the first two picks that you have bust out in a couple of years. There's so many variables that come into play. The Rams were saying, I know Von Miller is a Pro Bowl player. I know Von Miller is a Super Bowl champion. I know he can affect it. Put him on this team, he's going to make an impact. Put him on this team, he will do good things. They looked at Matt Stafford the same way. Now, Matt Stafford is, again, because you can't go get quarterbacks in this league, right? You can't just go to Buccaneers and go, what will it take to bring, you know, what will it take to get Tom Brady? They're like, nothing. Conversation's over. But in the Lions case, they knew the Lions wanted to move forward. The Lions wanted to go to a complete rebuild. They wanted to start fresh. And so Matt Stafford is now available. So the Rams didn't really have a choice. It's either Jared Goff or Matt Stafford. They weren't going to pluck from the quarterback tree of anybody good. So they got a good one in Matt Stafford. But I don't think you'll see GMs go down this road. I don't think you will, because again, all of those acquisitions and the way they constructed their team still didn't give you a bona fide, absolutely, without a doubt, favorite to win the Super Bowl team. And it's interesting because Vegas has got, like, Buffalo is the betting favorite. Kansas City is one of the betting favorites. And the Rams are on that list, too. But even Vegas still looks at other teams and go a little bit more complete than the Rams. And the other thing that I want to mention, I was talking about this earlier, because the Super Bowl winners, right? We look at the NBA. The NBA is a perfect example of this. NBA champions, doesn't it feel like there's a formula now for winning an NBA title? And I go, I get it. It's different playoffs. You got to beat a team 4 times out of 7 in order to advance. But it seems like you better have in place a megastar. You better have some players around him that are on a same, maybe not the same level of stardom, but they're kind of stars as well. I'm not saying a dream team per se, but you better have one or two big time players, one other player that complements those two big time players. And that seems to be the formula, right? Well, in the NFL, there's really no other formula to win a Super Bowl other than if you want to win one, your best bet is to have a very, very, very efficient quarterback. He doesn't have to be the star of the league, but he has to be very, very efficient. But Super Bowl champions have come from all different types. Some have won because of their defense. Some have won because of their offense. Some have won with quarterbacks we don't even remember won Super Bowls. Some have won because they were the best team by far, no doubt about it, and crowned themselves the champion when it was all said and done because we saw it coming a mile away. The Rams were sort of the middle of the road. They were a team we kept our eye on because of their bold nature. But I don't think in the beginning of the playoffs, when it was all set, we went, that's the clear-cut team that's going to have the Lombardi Trophy. And that's the beauty of the playoffs in the NFL, is that we don't really do that with anybody. Yeah, we might be really high on Kansas City's chances or the Patriots back in the day, because the Patriots won so many times that you were always like, if they get to the Super Bowl, they're probably the favorite to win it. But that's the gamble in the NFL, is that in the NBA, if you can pair up your megastar with two other big stars, you probably have got a good chance of winning it all. But in the NBA, in the NFL, you can have a lot of Pro Bowl players and you may not even get to the game. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. We'll continue our look at the Rams and also other things around the league as we continue.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You put me down this movie rabbit hole with these Throwback Thursday songs.
You know what? Hey, it wasn't my intention.
No, it was. I know it was. Don't lie.
No, it wasn't. It's just that a lot of songs in 85, back in the day, they used to have these songs go with these movies.
Yeah.
They don't really do that. Science. They don't do that anymore.
This is Anthony Michael Hall and the other kid.
Yep.
They invented Kelly LeBrock.
That's her.
Robert Downey Jr. is in this movie, too.
So is Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton. Yeah, they play bullies. Yeah.
No, well, Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton played the older brother.
He turns into a big pile of Chet.
Robert Downey Jr., yes, that's right. Robert Downey Jr. plays a bully.
Yeah.
I paused it during this movie. It was on. I asked my son if he knows who that is. I said, it's Iron Man. He nearly lost his mind. I said, yeah, that guy's been in movies forever.
He used to act in other things. He wasn't just a superhero.
So I had to bring up something funny. So I saw on our Facebook page that we had interviewed Gene Deckerhoff, the voice of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I would like to blame that on computer error, but I can't. Okay. That was user error.
Was he on another show?
Yes.
Because we only talked to Pat Donovan. The other show wants to get Gene Deckerhoff, they can.
No, that was the show after ours.
Okay.
The Rundown. So they had Gene Deckerhoff. I will fully admit I had mistyped the wrong name because I was thinking Wake Up Call at the time.
And Gene Deckerhoff is a legendary play-by-play announcer because he's not only the Buccaneers play-by-play announcer, but he also does Florida State.
Not now, anymore.
I don't know. Right? He just retired.
Retired. Last season was his last year with Florida State after, I think he said, 47 years.
Yeah, he's been there forever.
God.
Forever. And, man, I'm telling you, you want to talk about the logistics of having Gene Deckerhoff do a college football game on Saturday and an NFL game on Sunday. Yeah. Think about the logistics of that. Like he had to leave wherever he was for Florida State and get to wherever the Buccaneers were. Sometimes it's in the state of Florida. It's not that bad. It's just a little hop, skip, and a jump down to Tampa. But sometimes Florida State's playing at Clemson and the Buccaneers on Sunday are playing in Los Angeles. And so you have to
get
over there for the broadcast. And Deckerhoff Did that for many, many years, and he was the voice of both of those teams. And he's a legendary commentator, but you were telling me, not the best interview in the world, right?
Great guy. Stories upon stories
You would not believe. But I have a Gene Deckerhoff story that I thought was kind of funny. So I said, you want me to tell you my Gene Deckerhoff story?
Said yes.
You said, sure. So now you have no choice but to listen to it. It's funny. It's not ha-ha-ha funny, but it's kind of fun. So we called, I was working at a station and we were doing a Florida State thing and we had him on to talk Seminoles. Maybe they were playing a big game. I don't remember. But we had him on and I was pretty excited about it because I knew how legendary he was. And again, get him on the air. He's a great interview. But he says to the producer before, he says, hey, if you hear the doorbell ring in the background, I'm expecting furniture to be delivered. And he says, so I hope it doesn't bother anything. He says, okay. So I ask him a question. And I don't know what made him do this. Because, like, he's a broadcaster, so he understands radio and he understands the package that is being trying to be presented. But all I remember him is starting the answer and then in the background, ding dong. And he goes, gotta go, click. And that was it. That was the end of the interview with Gene Deckerhoff. Like, the furniture, whatever was being delivered. Now, he said furniture, maybe it was a TV. I don't know. But whatever it was, that was exponentially more important than whatever we were talking about. Now, what my producer said afterwards when he came on the air, we had a good laugh about it, which I thought was funny. He said, Deckerhoff must have had one of those phones that's attached to the wall in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Because he didn't even like carry it with him to the door where he went, hold on one second. Yeah. And then just kind of wave the guy in with the furniture while he was continuing to talk about Florida State.
Didn't spring for the extra long cord.
Right. Like he didn't have a wireless phone or cell phone. He said he must have done that on the old standard rotary dial in the kitchen.
Right.
Attached to the wall where you were sort of tethered there because that was the only way he could answer the door. And he didn't want the delivery people to leave and come back on another time. And I said, that's actually brilliant. I never even thought of that. That's a great point.
That is funny.
I said, that is a great point. He probably had no choice. Because when you're expecting a delivery like that, you ever try to get something like that re-delivered? Forget it.
It'll never happen.
Never happen. They come to your door. Ding dong. Yeah, we're here with your couch, love seat, and dresser drawer. And you're not home? They're like, yeah, we can reschedule. We can make that happen in, I don't know, December of 2027. Does that work for you? Are you going to be around that time? Right? I mean, so I'm sure he was like panicking a little bit. Like, yeah, of course I have to go. I'm tethered to the wall by this phone. I better hang up and go answer the door. They're never coming back with the furniture I paid for. So I forgave him for that because at first I was kind of upset because, you know, being a host, I want to be the center of everybody's attention. Look at me, pay attention to me. But then afterwards I realized, yeah, no, it makes total sense. How many phones do you think still exist out there that are the old time phones in the house, attached to the wall?
I would say a bunch.
You think so?
Because they're all in your grandmother or great grandmother, great grandparents' place in that small town in the middle of nowhere state.
Yeah, that's probably true.
All those farm towns, they probably still have the phone still attached and it's still in service.
Well, whenever I go visit my parents in Florida, they still have a landline. They still have, but if they have a cordless phone, they never answer it. Like every time it rings, they go, it's not. And I go, why do you have it then? And they're like, well, sometimes people, we do have to answer. I go, okay, because I haven't seen you do it once since I've been here.
Yeah, when my wife and I first moved in together, we each had cell phones, but we had gotten a landline number.
Yeah, sometimes it's part of the package.
It was because it was part of the package.
Right. You gave us the
cheap deal. And now, thank God they don't have that anymore because that. I mean, that thing was all we ever did was clean it off.
Yeah, it's a constant. Yeah, exactly. So I forgive Gene Deckerhoff because furniture delivery is more important than anything I might be yapping about the Seminoles and whoever was the quarterback back then that we were talking to. We continue. It's Wake Up Call. Woo!
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. All right, so the Rams, what do we make of the Rams? What do we make of them?
Well, they're going to lose every game this season.
12-5 last year. Yeah, lose every game.
Every game this season because they didn't appear on our show.
That's right. That's right. That's the curse.
Good job, beat writers.
And, beat writers in Cincinnati.
Yep.
Sorry, is Cincinnati on Hawaiian time right now? I'm sorry.
In Cincinnati. That was
is it 3 o'clock in the morning in Cincinnati right now?
Not for sure. I'm like, hey, it's in Cincinnati. Yeah, I'm not asking you to wake up early. Are you still on L.A., California
is that what it is?
Time?
Yeah, is that what it is? Where they're like, yeah, but it's 9 o'clock, but it feels like 6 to me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's like,
I'm not getting up until 11.
Usually works the other way around, guys. If you came from the East Coast and went to the West Coast, then you could say, oh, I slept in.
Remember I was telling you about Hard Knocks, how they were showing the Barry Sanders camp and what it looked like compared to what the Lions have now? I was showing like weeds and rocks. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Amazing. If you're a pro team and you are at Wofford College, Carolina, or St. Vincent College in La Trobe, Buffalo plays at St. John Fisher College. They practice there. Like, eventually, don't you feel like you got to get your own pad, like your own training facility, like your own place? Like, I don't know. Maybe there's a little old school feel to it. It's like, we got the dorms and we're practicing at this college. But when I see the Lions training facility is amazing. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's manicured. It's perfect. They went on the road to play Indianapolis in a joint workout in this Hard Knocks episode. They go to Indianapolis. They go into this building, and that's where they change. And then they walk through the woods on this blue-painted walkway. It's like a Wizard of Oz, but think of yellow brick road. Think of like a blue road. And they walk. It's in the woods, trees all around, and it then emerges and it opens it up to this massive practice facility that is just absolutely breathtaking. It's gorgeous. I remember when I first covered the Broncos, we'd go to Greeley and we would go to the University of Northern Colorado to cover workouts there. And it was a little pain because it was a drive and I was going a lot. Then the one year they moved it to Dove Valley, which was nearer to where I was living, and it was like much more convenient to go to training camp. But you go, oh, okay, I get it. They want to keep it in their own place. And then you got there and you realized, oh, I get it. This is not a college campus. This is a state-of-the-art, multi-million-dollar practice facility with everything that you'd want available everywhere. Multiple fields, manicured perfectly, stations for different types of, you know, you want to move the kickers over here, you want to do the punters over here, you want to do defense, like the way you could structure it. Now, I don't know if training camp is a selling point or not. It probably isn't. In the end, money is the reason people go to teams. I mean, some players like, look, this team is the only one that's paying me $20 million a year. I don't care if they want to play in a trash field, practice in a trash field for a couple of weeks. But I also think that there is a little bit of ego that happens with these owners. And I do think they like the fact that they put these practice facilities together. They go like, look at what we have. We got this building and this, these offices, and this is our weight room and these are our locker rooms and this is the training tables and this is the cafeteria and this is the film rooms and look at the chairs and all of that. That's the other thing. That was the other thing that really blows me away. You ever see these meeting rooms now that these teams are?
Yeah,
these teams are going into theaters.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mean small theaters, right?
Yeah, small movie theaters.
A lot of them now too have the table that pops up out of the chair so they can write.
Like that image of Len Dawson
recliners.
Where he's smoking a cigarette is on a elementary school chair.
Oh, it's a folding chair. It's a metal chair. You see those
folding chair?
That's what wrestlers used to hit people with.
Nowadays, it's like, hey, pro, you want to sit down and relax? Here's a $1,000 whatever kind of chair.
It's a lazy boy that's going to massage your back while you're sitting here.
15 buttons will massage everything for
you. By the way, the Len Dawson photo. Everyone always focuses on that, that cigarette, but there's also a fresca between his legs.
There's a fresca, yeah. Nothing says gearing up for the second half like a cigarette and a fresca.
I mean, how else would you do it?
Right, exactly. Like, some of these old football players must go, what the hell is this? Seriously, you're watching film in a theater? Like, seriously, I sit on a folding chair with a guy trying to figure out how the machine worked. Now there's like all sorts of like, they're going on these screens, like they're pressing buttons on the screen to go, and we isolated this, and as we zoom in on this, here's your toe. It doesn't look like it's in the right spot.
You've seen the movie Draft Day, right?
Yeah.
I know people hate it, but I enjoy it. I don't know why. I think it's because it's a fun look behind the scenes, the front office part of it all. But when they are reviewing film, right, it just cracks me up because Kevin Costner, you know, they're talking about a touchdown later on in this game. And Kevin goes, oh, yeah, why don't we go to that? And it's like in a click of a button. There it is.
There it is.
And then they can slow it down. And, you know, it's like, well, let's take a look at this and rewind it real quick. I mean, all these things. And I imagine like older guys, you know, even old coaches looking at it like, God, you know, it's like I was sitting there on the cutting room floor splicing film together.
Exactly. You ever watch a movie like Avengers, and afterwards when the credits roll, you just see thousands and thousands and thousands of names, and you go, all of them had a, whether it was a small part, major part, middle of row part, whatever it is, all those names have to be on the credits if they had anything to do with the movie. That's sort of the rule in Hollywood that the unions and everybody has sort of agreed to. And that's why the credits roll, because they are on that list. So every single person got something for doing the movie, right? And I wonder in an NFL team, like who's on the video staff? Like who, like how many people are responsible for what you just said? Were they like, here's all the practice footage. We'll see you at 4 o'clock in the morning when you have it ready for us to go over every individual player and every single thing they did. And they're just putting it into computers and they're going play five. So-and-so, and they're labeling it, and boom, that's done, boom, and there's just a bunch of them on machines. Because you're right, those things are called up instantly. There's a whole library of those that are available, and just seeing, like, just getting the inside look, that's the one thing I will tell you that this series has done, giving you this inside look. But just in my experience, of, you know, I started covering the Patriots back in the mid-90s. It was one of my first things out of school. Me and the Dave Preston from WTOP would drive down to Smith College to cover training camp, and to watch Hard Knocks and go, good Lord, these guys, look at everything. I mean, just top of the line, first class, everything. It's incredible. Incredible. Those movie theater seating, that movie. And here's the fun part about it is they gathered the team, right? And everybody sat down because Campbell's going to do some big speech, right? They gather them all in, and not every seat is taken. There's so many seats that are empty because they're like, you never know when we might have this full. You know, it's really, really cool to see the development of this. But I guarantee you there's a bunch of old coaches who just like the good old days when we would, you know, gather on a field, move some rock, throw some twigs off to the side, and throw some boundaries together and run some football. But my first – the scene that they show – The stock footage that they got of Barry Sanders at training camp for the Lions back in the day where they showed the thick grass, my first thought was, oh, my God, that's a torn ACL. Like, good Lord, who's running on that? Who wants to run on that? Twist their ankles, sprain their knee, tear an ACL, pull a hammy. I mean, there must have been a bunch of injuries back in the day that were just classified as, man, what are you going to do? It's the turf. It's the crappy field we work out on. And then they went, hey, you know what would be good, owner, if you had a state-of-the-art practice facility? And they went, are you kidding? No, isn't there a local college we can exploit somewhere? What are you talking about? Practice facility? What do you mean training camp facility? What, are you crazy? Yeah, if we could just get better conditions, we actually won't be hurt. And that's not football. And now today, these things are like mini resorts. Training camp used to be tough. Training camp used to be impossible. Now it's like, oh, well. I got the finest things in the, you know, best food, trainers. You need an ice bath. You need a massage. You need a steam. You need a sauna. What do you need? Right? All available. So it's wild. But nevertheless, the Rams, real quick, before we close out our thoughts on them. Look, are they going to win the NFC West? Yes, they are. Arizona is too many question marks. I don't know if Trey Lance is going to be right up there with them. They are. Will they go to the Super Bowl? No. No, I don't. I mean, look, are they as good as any with the Cowboys and the Packers and whatnot? I don't know if I'd roll the dice again. I think it's hard to get to back-to-back Super Bowls. Forget winning back-to-back Super Bowls. It's hard to get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I mean, but here's the reality, though. That at least I'm thinking, if there is a team that can do it, it would be an NFC team.
Yeah. Well, a team
out of the NFC.
Yeah. That right.
That could get to back-to-back. I mean, if that was
the obstacles for them are absolutely not as daunting as an AFC team is.
Tough. I mean, you know, they should make the playoffs. And then it's all determining, you know, how healthy are they in the playoffs? Who are they going to face in the playoffs? You know, I mean, are they fortunate enough to get on the easy side where, you know, may end up being like a Packers versus Buccaneers in order to get to the NFC Championship where they beat each other up?
So real quick, so the Rams benefit from a couple of things about Rams benefit in their conference for a couple of things. One, do we really trust the Dallas Cowboys? That's pushing it, right? I mean, Dallas, you know. But the other thing is that Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers have not been to a Super Bowl since they won it back in 2010 season. So it's not like Green Bay has shown that they are a playoff juggernaut. Almost the exact opposite has been true. Right? Where they have had very good teams that have gotten to the postseason only to find ways to lose it. And they have found ways to lose it when Aaron Rodgers has played particularly well in the playoff game, and yet they still find themselves on the losing end. So you're right. When you look at the Rams, maybe it was a little too bold to say, I don't think they'll go back to the Super Bowl, when what's in front of them is Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, with Tom Brady and a lot of unanswered questions around him.
Yeah.
A Green Bay Packers team that doesn't seem to know how to get back to the Super Bowl despite Aaron Rodgers under center. A Dallas Cowboys team we just don't trust.
Well, they just,
so who else?
They just keep getting injured.
Right, right, exactly.
And an Eagles team with that looks good on paper, but we don't know.
So unless somebody else is rising up. So don't get me wrong. I Green Bay can certainly go to the Super Bowl, and Dallas can certainly go to the Super Bowl. So maybe it's a little too bold to say, well, the Rams aren't going back. Well, why wouldn't they go back, given that the fact that the teams around them aren't exactly
right
juggernaut championship level
teams? I mean, even in their own division, you know, you have, I mean, before we sat here last year at this very time going, like, you know, figuring out, like, well, I can see all four teams making the playoffs out of the NFC West. Now you look at it, it's like, well, no, Seattle now. They don't even know who their quarterback is. San Francisco looks like they're going with Trey Lance. He's unproven, so we don't know what that's going to look like. Cardinals will just shoot themselves in the foot at some point.
At some point.
Without a doubt. We know that. That's as certain as death and taxes right now.
Man. So I'm going to amend it. Maybe, yeah, I think they're back-to-back Super Bowl appearances. That's how quickly it could change. See, when I talk things
they're
out.
They're like the Seahawks. You know, all of a sudden it's like, you know, why didn't they pass to Cooper Kupp?
That was... Yeah. What I did was, are we going to the beach for vacation? Hell no. But the sunshine's actually pretty good. It's actually a cheaper vacation than other things. Seems like everybody in my family likes it. Swimming in the ocean sounds like it'd be cool. And it's not that far of a drive. You know what? Yeah, let's go to the beach.
And there's nothing,
this vacation.
And there's nothing better than just sitting in a chair, staring out at the water, hearing the ocean crash. Yeah. And you know, and I have nothing to do.
So I've changed my mind, kids. I went from absolutely anti-beach to we're going to the beach in the next couple of weeks. So I just did that with the Rams. Are the Rams going to the Super Bowl? No. And now,
Hell yes.
Why not? Why not? They certainly have as good of a chance as anybody to go back to the Super Bowl. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Again, 1985 is our Throwback Thursday. Doc Gooden on this date, Dwight Gooden, he struck won 20 games, became the youngest to win 20 games. Had 286 strikeouts that season, won the Triple Crown. Just a phenomenal pitcher that actually, just sad story about his addictions and how much trouble he got in because of those addictions. And like I said earlier, there's a lot of athletes that have had so much talent, just filled with talent to the brim. And then, you know, this demon comes and they can't control it and they don't fulfill the talent. Dwight Gooden was in the middle. Like, Dwight Gooden had a no-hitter. He won two World Series. I mean, he had a career that if any other pitcher had, you would say that was a great career, right? And Dwight Gooden had a great career. But we don't judge Dwight Gooden by that. We judge Dwight Gooden by what could have been. The sort of imagination gets away from us.
The
we
what
do
if.
This with a lot of plays. The what ifs, right? If he had was able to control his addiction and never got involved with drugs and alcohol in the first place, what would he have been like all the way through, let's say, a 15-year career as the kind of pitcher that he was early? Now, again, sometimes at 20, 21, and 19, that he maybe you don't sustain that kind of success. But at the same time, a lot of Dwight Gooden's career has been more defined about lost opportunities than it was some of the great accomplishments that he has. And that's sort of the curse of being one elevated athlete. It's like, you know, when we judge, like Aaron Rodgers, we were just talking about Aaron Rodgers. Like, we don't look at Aaron Rodgers one Super Bowl and go, hey man, that's awesome, that's great. We go, you know what? You have had the talent. You have the talent to win more. Right. And we judge him on that way. And again, he's not dealing with the same thing as Dwight Gooden, but that's basically how we judge, whether it's John Daly or Dwight Gooden or other athletes that have been plagued by something else. They are just victims of their amazing talent. So then Dwight Gooden is our Throwback Thursday today for 1985. We'll continue. Thoughts on Tyron Smith and the Rams coming up in hour number 4 as we continue this Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.